I'm just messing with you.
I don't know why you do that. I know that you can great. It brings great pleasure to you, but it makes me panic about my Wi-Fi.
You have fast Wi-Fi. We talked about that, Randy.
Kind of. It depends.
Blazing fast.
Not really. Don't you have like 1.17 gigawatts of throughput?
I think I have
1.21 gigawatts.
That's it. That's what I have.
Yeah. 88 miles an hour.
Cheers to you, Randy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Ron. Whoa. My coffee Cheers. Mug just made a noise.
I love American-based reviewers on YouTube that reply to the comments, cheers. Like, cheers. Yeah. Like, what?
They just want to be different. Cheers. That's cool. Let them be that person that wishes they were British.
Be your best self.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, welcome back to the...
You know what bugs me?
What bugs you?
People that say no worries.
No worries.
I don't like
No
that.
Worries. You know what my reply is? You don't have kids, do you?
Yeah, we have a lot of tired and a lot of worries.
We have a lot of tired and a lot of worries. Constant. It's fun.
Quit messing with stuff.
My Are OCD you tightening is kicking a bolt? In. I am.
Yeah. Have you started therapy yet for that? Because I know we talked about it last time. No. You're just gonna roll with it, huh? I'm gonna make everybody deal with my mental deficiencies.
Yes, correct. Hey guys, let us know in the comments section if
Do you yell at your wife when the hand towels aren't lined up properly?
I just never yell
across the room. What the heck? Sarah!
I yelled at my Damn wife. It. One time, and that was a big mistake, and I haven't done it since then. I was like, okay,
yeah,
you are much more powerful of a creature than I am, and I will be nice to you for the rest of our lives. So
yeah, they'll kill you in your sleep.
There's no question.
I got to be careful with my, like, I got into it with my daughter this morning because her idea of doing laundry is just to take everything that's on her floor, blankets, everything, and just throw it down there. And there's like a stocking hat in there that looked literally brand new, and I smelled it and smelled fine. I'm like, this isn't dirty. And she got all mad at me. I'm like, I gotta be careful because there's a whole bunch of 2020s where the kids just kill their parents.
Yeah, they take them out. You're expendable, Randy. They'll take you out.
Yeah.
Is this your oldest daughter?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my seven-year-old. I'm not too concerned about my seven-year-old murdering me in my sleep. It's the teenagers.
It's the teenagers. They'll get you. They'll sneak up from behind and just whack you. Yeah,
there's data to back that up.
Yeah, well, you know what I have to say about that, Randy?
That the podcast has already veered off the tracks.
No worries. No worries, Randy. No worries.
Cheers, Ron.
Cheers. Cheers to you, buddy. All right. Welcome back to the Ron and Randy's Audio Hour. We are your hosts. I am Ron from New Record Day, and then we have Mr. Randall from the Cheap Audio Man. And
it's the cheap or the Jeep. Apparently on
Jeep Audio Man
subtitles, sometimes it comes out Jeep Audio Man.
Hey, one thing I want to mention. Yeah, why not be that? We should be reviewing Jeeps, to be frank with you. Without
this
even
one has
knowing
four
anything
wheels
about
and internal combustion engine, and it's got a metal dash.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
Let's
just
do it.
17 episodes of that.
Let's do it. House cleaning topics on the last episode, which is Audio Basics speakers, and we're going to take a break from Audio Basics in this episode, but a lot of you mentioned that Randy's mic was not as loud as it needed to be, so let us know if...
I worked really hard on fixing that.
It is now fixed, I hope. We've looked at our meters, we're looking at everything, and I think it should be better. I think it should be fine now. I hope.
It can't get much worse, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it could. If you were on the other side of the room, it could get
worse. Yeah, if I just like knock my microphone off the table and there's nothing, then that would be worse.
Or that, yes. All right, man. So today we are taking a break from Audio Basics, and we're just going to chat about behind the scenes stuff, things that we're reviewing, things that we have in for you. I love
it when you say behind the scenes. It makes us sound so professional. When the reality is, it's just one of two morons turning cameras on, throwing up some lights on trash cans, and then getting into Movie Maker on iMac.
And pretending that we know what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I just know how to lift subwoofers above my head and make silly jokes.
Like a Tuscan Raider.
Speaking of which, good. I was actually going to... I should have got my Josh Fowler lightsaber.
You should have. That was a great review, man. I want to give you props. What I liked the most about that review is you didn't just give one option under $500. You gave two options, and you then carried the ball to the end zone in saying, and these two options are two very different options for two totally different types of people.
Well, yeah, cool. And I think that's one of the things that frustrates me most about reviewers is because, to me, and I might be painting with pretty broad strokes here, speakers for the most part fall into, you know, three categories. You have a warmer, laid-back speaker, you have a neutral, and then sometimes you have a more exciting, which is code for maybe a little bright speaker.
Sure.
And the same thing can kind of be with amps, too. So I just don't know why people don't say that. I mean, some people refer to it like amp and speaker pairings. I don't know.
Yeah.
My 5 cents.
I think in terms of like tone, like tonal characteristics, I think you're right.
What about leading edges?
Let's talk about the timbre and the leading edges.
Just a second. I got a list.
We got a list.
Some friends sent to me.
Let's just start making up stuff.
No, I'm going to start reading some of the absurdity. Extension. Ambiance. Velvety. It's chalky. It sounds chalky. Tuneful. Mm. My favorite one is musical. I mean, really? A speaker's musical? I think, aren't they all somewhat musical? Authoritative, confident, robust, weighty. Actually, weighty makes sense to me. I like thick and buttery.
Yeah. I once called my wife weighty. That was a bad idea.
I don't even know how to respond. Like, I thought that was like just a given that you don't say that.
No, I'm joking.
Hey, honey, good morning. You look like you've put on a significant amount of weight lately.
Are you feeling weighty this morning, babe? Kind of like some deep bass? You feeling a little bit weighty?
You look bloated. Are you all right? Did you put too much salt on your stir fry last night?
Honey, your voice is so chalky this morning. Bad idea.
Tuneful.
We should do a.
What does that mean? Tuneful.
You know what? We should do marriage advice podcast.
Leading edges. Yeah. Leading marriage advice. Don't do anything we just said.
Don't do anything. Well, what I was going to say is you're right about tone. You know, there's no doubt about that. I think that those three kind of generalizations, I think that's fair. I guess that past that, you would get into different types of speakers, like meaning a, let's just say this, let's just say that a neutral sounding dynamic speaker is indeed going to sound very different than that of something like an Electrostat or a Magna Planar that is also neutral. There's going to be some pretty big differences there that might distract you from saying, oh, it's just a neutral. It's like, well, it's that, but it's also other things as well.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, for sure. But I don't know one person that's got an electrostatic speaker, and I can count on one hand who the people that have like MagnaPans and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most people have a box speaker.
Box speakers.
With a port.
Yeah. Have you ever spent time listening to Martin Logan speakers? Have you ever?
No, I haven't. But people have suggested that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't know where they fall into my channel. Like the, what do I call it? My mission statement of the channel.
Sure. Sure.
So those and Definitive Technology, and I don't know where they fit in. I'm not saying I won't review them.
Yeah.
I just, especially DefTech. I have somewhat of an issue with DefTech, and not, it's not because they don't sound good. I think it has more to do with their pricing.
These Neolists, I'm on their website right now. These might be a good fit. They're 99. There's a bunch of nines in here. They're $99,999 for the pair.
So, yeah, I'm doing giveaways with those.
You should just, yeah.
I've got a dozen pair coming in, and then we're gonna give those away.
Yeah,
so we're gonna have an essay contest.
A lot of people get Martin Logan's and Maggie's confused. Totally different technologies.
Martin Logan's the one that has like a planar on top and then a sub on the bottom, right?
No, it's Electrostats. Logan is Electrostats.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I'm just making up words anyway, so don't worry about it. But yes, they do have a woofer at the bottom. That is their...
I think they sell those at Best Buy.
I think they do, like the Magnolia Best Buys. Is Magnolia like their higher end?
Is still a mess in there, man.
It is a mess, yeah.
And they don't have, like, dedicated people. I mean, they'll just pull some dude out of there and then switch the goes to the little touchpad and switches the receivers to what you want to hear.
Let me ask you something, bro.
If you could,
was there anything in that video that you did talking about the two under $500 rigs? We'll call them a rig. Why not? That you wish you would have expanded on a little bit more if you had the time to like flesh anything else out, would you? Or do you feel like, no, that's everything that I would want to say in that review?
I don't know. I mean, I forgot to say the specs on the ELEC B6. I don't know, man. I mean, maybe kind of cover the bass. So I think both of those speakers you can grow with. I think those amps, you know, I think you're not going to be able to really grow with that amp. So later on, then maybe you can move those amps to a different room or something like that, or a kid's room. But speakers you can grow with. The subs, you know, those, I think people need to understand that those are entry-level subs, right?
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about tonality. We're not going to talk about any of that stuff when it comes to those subs. We're talking about, hey, these are going to play notes lower than what your bookshelves can play. And that's it. And even with that said, there is a enormous amount of musical enjoyment that can be had just by adding a subwoofer. And to me, really, adding a subwoofer to any system is probably the easiest and most bang for your buck to get more musical enjoyment.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, your opinion is correct. Always correct, actually.
No, that's not true.
100% of the time. What is your process? So you have two speakers playing, and I say, I hold up a subwoofer, not quite above my head, but
because
I can't. But then I give you the subwoofer.
Mm-hmm.
Go. What is your process of integrating a subwoofer? What do you do to make that subwoofer do what it needs to do in your room?
Ooh, good question. So the majority of the time, so in a perfect world, what I would do is I would sit in the listening position, and then I would make one of my children move the sub around until I felt like the levels were right. Okay.
I love this.
However, that is not a perfect solution. So what one can do, and actually I learned this from Andrew Robinson, is you put your sub in the listening position, turn it on, play some music, and then you crawl around the room and find out where you feel that sub is most pronounced. However, with all that said, I mean, you can get some of those, or in my experience, you can get some of the same effects by simply turning the sub up a bit more. but, and I know there's all sorts of fancy ways to describe it, bass changes dependent on where my head or my ears are at. So I can be sitting in my living room and the bass sounds great, and I can literally move my head a foot forward or a foot backwards and I will lose that level of bass. And one of the things, and I know you've mentioned it before, is you always have said two smaller or two less expensive subs are better than one larger or more expensive subs. Yes. And I would love to peel that onion back without you going into excruciating detail.
No.
I'm sorry. That was kind of a jerk thing that I just
No. You know, and the thing about it is I don't even... So I'm just being humble and saying this. I don't know all the science behind that experience, but I do know that that has been my experience. That kind of like what you were just saying, it's almost like the answer to the question is with what you just said, that there have been many times where I've had just one sub, you place the sub, and in one particular spot, it's good. But as soon as you start getting any kind of movement around, you lose it. And so by evening out the bass response in the room with another sound pressure device, because that's, and that's important to understand, is subwoofers are all about sound pressure, right? By evening it out in the room, then it just sounds better throughout. And on top of that, now what happens is you don't need to make that one single sub work so dang hard. And there might be some tracks where it would have been calling attention to itself, and now it won't because you have two that are... Why are you laughing at me?
I would love it. Am I rambling? Calling attention to yourself.
Calling attention to itself.
Yeah, because you say the same thing with tweeters. I like it when a tweeter calls attention to itself. It's like, listen, here's all the clarity and detail. Take it. Take it in. Love it.
It makes me crazy.
I know it does.
It makes me crazy.
I don't give a crap. I just throw them up against the wall about 16 inches, and then they're like, yeah, listen to that freaking guitar pluck.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
You're just like, I hate you, Randy.
I remember when I started listening to speakers, too.
I remember when I was a kid.
I remember. No, hey, being serious, and, you know, for me, I have made this point a million times. It's just about what you like. And if that's what you like, I don't, that's fine. You know, we all get to decide what we're looking for in a loudspeaker.
That's
and
right.
That for me, it's just not for me.
If you want ketchup on your steak, put ketchup on your steak. It's your steak.
So let me just expand on what I was saying just a little bit more. I remember the first time that I set up a subwoofer, I had it so freaking loud that when a female was speaking on the TV, you would hear that.
Oh yeah, coming from the sub. So your crossover is super high?
Super high, cranked up really high. That's an exaggerated example of what I was talking about, but in one sub situations, it's just harder to get it to disappear. And with two subs, it's just easier. Both of them can be turned down a little bit. And
how do you integrate though two subs easily? And I'm not talking about busting on a mic. I'm talking about some cat off the street goes in, buys two subs, doesn't have any measuring equipment. How do you do it? Where do you start? 50%, 80 hertz crossover? What do you do?
Okay. I do use a mic, but in the event where you don't have a mic, here's what I would do. I would take your front wall and I would divide it by three.
Mm-hmm.
And I would divide it by four. Whatever those two numbers are.
So like lots.
Kind of like lots. Those are where I would start moving those subs, two subs, back and forth.
Obviously, both of them in front of you?
Both of them in front of you. I would start with that. And I would just move those in and out. Have them set around the same if you can. Start blending it by ear with volume. And I always start with the crossover as low as I can get away with. So I bring it down as low as it will go, and then I slowly start bringing it up. And at the point where you can hear the sub, you've gone too far. You need to back it down a little bit.
Edge it back a bit.
Edge it back a bit. Phase is also something that is very misunderstood. I misunderstood it for a long time, especially when you have two subs in the mix. I thought that the phase relationship had something to do with the two subs. No. The phase relationship...
Yeah, with the speakers, right?
With the mains. So
yeah, you adjust it till it sounds like it's coming from the speakers, right?
Exactly, right. Yep, you want them to be in phase with each other. It's essentially like kind of building, if you will, like a makeshift crossover from your mains to your sub, and you want them to be in phase with each other. So just a little nugget of...
That phenomenon always, even to this day, and I've integrated a few subs.
Jacks you up.
Even like it's just so awesome. I'm like messing with the phase and I'm like, yeah, it's coming from the speakers, but it's really not.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
What about placement? All right. So you got them both in front of you. And what type of room benefits from having two subs in the front? I would assume a symmetrical rectangular style room.
I think that it's just a good starting point. There's a lot of documentation by people that are a million times smarter than both of us combined, which isn't that smart, but like SVS has some papers, and so does HSU subs have some papers that talk about, they might say start there, but then they say like have a sub here and then have the other one in the back corner of the room. And so that might be something that you would want to entertain. I've always found placing a sub back there to be a bit problematic, because now you're talking about long, lengthy cables to get back to that sub in a lot of situations. It's not that practical. And so I typically try to make the front wall work if I can.
You know what lends itself well to this wireless nonsense? Is a wireless sub attachment because the amplifier is in the sub.
Yeah.
So
you're just sending a signal.
You're just sending the signal, right? And then, you know, Rocketfish, you might remember that brand.
Yeah. It's Best Buy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They've been doing that for years. And that's one of the things I can't understand is why those aren't marketed more, because there's a lot more technology out there, especially with 2.4 gig and 5 gig and 900 megahertz and frequency hopping. There's all sorts of stuff that you can do to get that signal back. I don't know. That'd be cool. Maybe you should do that. Would you work on that this weekend?
Yes, absolutely. So you're right. I mean, in the event where you can go wireless, or there's modules that would make one sub wireless, I would say that's worth giving it a go and seeing if there's any compromise and, you know, signal loss and things like that. I haven't had much experience with that, so I don't know. But that's cool, man. Yeah.
Well, I've done that in my real job, not with subwoofers, with data and getting data from one place to another.
Yeah.
Wirelessly.
One thing I wanted to mention about you single sub guys that I've experienced, and this is actually going to be interesting because my experience does not match up with the math. And what I mean by that is a lot of papers out there would discourage you from placing the sub in the middle. And that might mean, they might mean like literally in the middle of the room, but in one sub solutions, I've actually experimented with the sub on the front wall in the middle, and I was able to get away with it. I might have to turn it up a bit more, but what I liked about that is there seemed like it was a bit more cohesive of a sound between the two. Here I'm using one of the fancy words.
I like
cohesive.
It.
Cohesive. It was a bit more velvety in the mid bass as well, I think. And
yeah.
Randy, I got to say, there was a bit of bloom that I was hearing. We have fun.
What does that
show.
Mean? I mean, bloom. Is that like when the bass covers up the mids?
Bloom would be a word that I would describe when you have panel walls on the speaker starting to wake up. Like you have a woofer creating energy. But then you have the cabinet that is adding to that energy. So
it's just
woofer,
boosting stuff at a certain frequency.
Yeah, it's like it has a bit more bloom.
Why don't you just put like a towel on the top and then a cinder block on the top. Would that take care of it?
No.
Why not?
No. You could put some more bracing inside the speaker, and that would be the way to fix it. But yeah,
I'm trying the cinder block.
You should. I think you should. Did I ever tell you? Do you know what white van speakers are? Have you ever heard that term, white van speakers?
I thought you said something else, and I was going to say, I'm interested to see where this is going. No, I've never heard of white van speakers.
So they're not as popular now as they were when Craigslist was a bigger deal, but there were what was known as what's called a white van speaker. And literally, there were like white vans that would open up the doors and they would sell like home theaters in a box and stuff like that out of that white van near a gas station or maybe a Chick-fil-A or I don't know, whatever. And people would buy them in droves because these guys on the box, it would say MSRP $5,000.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. And they're selling it for $110. Right. And so my stepdad, bless his heart, love the guy to death. He bought one of these home theaters in a box, literally like at an In-N-Out or something like that's where you like, hey dad, did you think that through? Like, is there something wrong with this particular scenario? There is a man in the parking lot of an In-N-Out selling speakers out of a van.
It seems completely legitimate.
It seems completely legit.
So that still happens with car audio.
Like, oh, I'm sure it does.
No, and it's not the white van, but you go to like flea markets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be an amplifier on there that'll say like 1,000 watts.
1,000,000,000 watts.
Yeah, and you pick it up and it's like 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that weight is always a direct proportion to how good something sounds, but there's a bunch of channels that go out there and they do like amp dyno testing and they'll take what's claimed and then they'll do their thing and then they'll be like, yeah, it makes 3 watts.
A perfect segue into finish up the story and then we'll move on. So one of the reasons why he said he got it, he's like, this thing's really heavy, Ron. Like, I think this might actually be legit. And so it was like these little Bose cube. It looked like a ripoff from Bose, right?
Right.
And each cube was very heavy. And I remember thinking to myself, that's interesting. And me being the kid that I am, that I like to take things apart, I decided to take it apart. Bro, they literally poured concrete inside the speakers to make them heavier. There, you open it up and get the speaker, there was concrete.
They're never going to figure this out. That's what they thought over there at Acme Audio.
They
MSRP,
are never.
$4,999. Today so only, for the next 30 seconds, $27.
Yeah, those speakers
sound
a little bit.
We've got to get the space in the warehouse. Our loss is your gain.
Yeah. I got to say, Randy, those sounded a little bit chalky, a little bit chalky, a little bit hard in the upper mid-range. Oh, man. So.
Sounded like tired.
Yeah. 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 Hey.
Yeah. Come on now. Shoot me.
I want to talk
about
these. Throw
something at me. Oh, we've been talking about those a lot the last few days.
Yeah. You've actually taught me something that I think that I sometimes forget.
What's
that? Sometimes you got to give it some time.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give it some time.
Are we going to keep the audience in suspense or are we going to tell them what you just did and what it is that you just dangled in front of the camera?
We can talk about it. I thought I had the box here. I don't.
Hold on. I think I have my box.
Okay.
No, that's toner.
That won't work.
That's a box of toner.
We're not reviewing toner. Don't worry, guys.
This one works really well. All right. I got it. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if this thing will focus.
There it is. There it is. Hold on. Let me solo you. Don't hold still.
Just
hold
a second. Still. I don't know why it doesn't focus.
You got it. That's there it is. That's it. Meze. Is it Rye or Ray Solo?
I think it's however you want to say it.
however you want to say it. I just realized something. It's like Ray Solo. It's like Ray E. It's almost like a tribute to Star Wars. Han Solo, Ray.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That's it. That's where they came up with the name. So I am pending on these with my impressions. I don't mind saying that I did not like these right out of the gate. I was like, ooh, oh boy. I can hear some positive traits here throughout the mid band, but I felt like these aren't digging down very low and they're certainly not extending very high. Was my first gut reaction. I listened to them for about 13 minutes and seeing that we just passed the 30-minute mark, I've now listened to these for the longest amount of time hearing your beautiful voice.
Did you run them in at all?
Like, I haven't yet.
After
that begins today. So I'm gonna tee this off to you. So I introduced Randy to Meze and mm-hmm. they sent him a pair, and I think that it's worth noting, and anytime that we mention, like, you know, affiliate links, we need to be honest and upfront that these are now on sale. You can get them on Amazon. Is the sale going on right now?
Yeah, it's going on right now.
And they're, I think, quite a bit off from what they were, right?
Yeah, $250 to $150.
Okay. So they've brought the price down. And with that, I think that we need to kind of like, okay, all right. So let's dance. Let's see if these are worth the asking price. So if you are interested in them, there are going to be affiliate links, and we do make a small commission if you decide to buy.
Yeah, and that's on all, Mike, like all commission. Well, there's some links I've shared that I don't get a commission off, but yeah, I mean, that's how I keep the channel going.
Absolutely. You know? Sure. Yeah. I just think as long as you just mention it, that's all that you need to do, and we did. So it's at no additional expense to you. We get a small commission. But I'm going to say up front that I'm pending on my impressions with these. I didn't love them out of the gate. Teeing off to Randy. Go.
Okay. I don't know where you want me to go with this. I got these. First of all, and I don't want to do my review here, so the review's coming. But I got them, and I listened to them a little bit, and I didn't care for them either.
Yeah.
With that said... And this
is where I want you to go with it.
This leads into a deeper conversation about audio in general. With that said, I have had experiences with products before, i.e. the ELAC Unify UB52s, where I was underwhelmed with a product initially. After some time, those products changed. Some would argue that that is because my brain is getting used to the sound.
Yeah.
I'll argue back 100 times over that on these Meze Rise Solos, I let them run in on my desk without my ears connected to them for a few hours. And then I put them back on. So I put them on, listened to them a little bit. I was like, eh. And then I ran them for a while, and then I put them back on, and I'm like, okay. Mm. There's a little bit more bass response. There's a little bit more detail going on. Now, I spent... pretty significant. Here's the great thing about headphones and earbuds for me, or IEMs, as they're like to be called. Here's what I like about those. I can review those and get a good amount of time with those throughout the day, doing the dishes, going to bed at night, you know, whatever, because they're, well, portable. So I've given these some time. And there are some remarkable things this IEM is doing, or earbud. Things that I've never heard out of other IEMs. Now, I'm not Josh or DMS, and I haven't listened to 100, but I've listened to 24. Yeah. Now, with all that said, this is going to be a product that... is not going to be for everyone. But this is also going to be a product that is going to do things that other IEMs don't do. And one of my things I like about the channel is to talk about affordable gear and talk about the different sound signatures and the different attributes of different gear. There is no one perfect speaker out there, one perfect amp. if you buy affordable stuff and you get different flavors, then your musical enjoyment, not only does one become basically more, I don't know, experienced with audio, because they're not, okay, I'm just going to listen to Klipsch RP600M. Mm-hmm. That's a great speaker. But if you've never heard an Elac WB6, which is kind of the other end of the pendulum swing, that's an awesome speaker. And to be able to experience all that at an affordable price, because you're not going out and spending $2,000 on one set of speakers.
Right.
I think that's what's awesome about audio. Because there's vanilla ice cream, and there's chocolate ice cream, and pistachio. And some of it's an acquired taste, right? I didn't like the Elac WB6s initially. I thought, oh, there's no detail. But man, after a while, I started to appreciate them for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I got a little excited.
No, so that's exactly what I wanted you to say, and I appreciate your thoughts, truly, and I mean it. It's a sincere thank you for reminding me, because I almost thought like, nah, I love Meze too much to even move forward. It's like, I love the classics. It's like, there's no point in me reviewing these. And now I'm like, hold on a second here. Do I believe that burn-in is a thing? Yes, I do.
Absolutely. And I don't care what people say.
It is a thing.
Oh, the frequency response or this, that, or that. No way. My experience may be anecdotal, but I know for a fact that speakers have a break-in period and IEMs can have a break-in period. Planar magnetics, especially, I feel like have a break-in. People that don't believe in it.
Yeah. It's like, I would love to agree with you, but then we would both be wrong. It does exist. It is a thing, for sure. And I just want to thank you, Randy, for reminding me that I haven't done my job with these. I need to spend some time, get them in the old sock drawer, let them play for a couple of days, come back to them and check them out. Because again, without giving away the review, you said some things in text message to me that I was like, well, fancy that. That sounds interesting to me. I want to hear what you're hearing, and now I'm determined to hear what you're hearing. So thank you. I appreciate
you're it. You're welcome, bro. Well, yeah. I'm glad. And so there's a term, don't give up before the miracle happens. Now, with that said, I don't think that speakers should require 100 hours of burn-in. When you get to a certain point, then that's just the manufacturer not doing their job right.
Sure.
If they're selling a product that requires 100 hours of burning, then they should be burning it in at the factory for 50 hours and let you do the rest, right? I think that is irresponsible of a manufacturer to be saying that. Because, hey, if you don't get to 100 hours after the return mark, you didn't burn them in correctly. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think that's a lazy argument. All that said, I think that it is definitely a thing. I don't know how much with electronics, but some people say with electronics.
Sure.
With dynamic planar magnetic drivers, I have, still the drop pandas too. They changed on me as well.
Okay. So there you go.
Now, with all that said, there is the phenomenon of my brain getting used to stuff, because when I AB'd the Elac Unify UB5s, the first gen, with the KEF LS50 and I can't remember what all, the Klipsch RP600M, I was listening to how forward a speaker is, and I used Johnny Cash Hurt as my test track for that, because Johnny is very, very forward of the rest of the band. Mm-hmm. Now, with all that said, when I'm A-B-ing speakers, I can say, yep, that one's more forward than that one, then that one's more forward than that. However, when I put the UB5s back up and just started listening to those, Johnny came back forward. Okay? So there is also the phenomenon of getting accustomed to that sound signature again. So even something, and the B6 did this for me for sure, because even the B6... if you're A-B-ing it next to a different speaker, okay, this doesn't sound as exciting or as lively on top. When you're just listening to the B6, your brain does get accustomed to it. But in my use case, this is not a question of my brain getting used to things. This is a question of there is a definitive change in the sound signature of these from the time I first opened them up.
Preach it, brother. Bring it home. You did it. Yeah. Nothing else needs to be said. Nailed it.
My phone's blowing up over here.
Yeah, mine's going crazy too. It's a bit of a distraction. I try not to. I should just keep my phone away from me, but I have to keep it near because my wife.
Yeah, my boss calls. I better answer. Hey, you know what? Yeah. I'll get back to you because I'm doing a podcast with Ron.
I'm talking about audio equipment, boss. Leave me alone. I got better things to do with my time. All right, man. Well, we are 40 minutes in. One thing I wanted to mention. So I just published the review of these guys. They're a little bit dark here, but I always want to leave a little bit of a nugget for those that actually watch the podcast and say something that you would only know if you watch the podcast, and I'm about to do it. At the end of this review, I say, hey, Purify, go and make a tweeter and then circle back to New Record Day, and you might have thought that was just like a broadband general type statement. It's not. It's not. It's because that might be what they are doing.
Ooh.
So just a little nugget there.
Here, I want to say something. If that works for you, I want to say something.
Yeah.
I want to make a manufacturer do something. Hey, iFi, make a Zen DAC that has an optical and a coax in. And this is completely... Like, this is not the same situation because I don't know if iFi's doing that. But I love the Zen DAC. I just want to stick other things into it to do the digital to analog conversion.
There you go.
I don't know if that's going to work or not.
Why? Let's finish up the episode with that. Why is that important to you to have those extra options? What?
Well, it limits cares? Itself. The Zen DAC only can be used with a USB.
Okay.
So you can't throw that thing out in the living room and connect your TV to it. And it's a shame because that is, and again, I don't want to give away the review, but that DAC is one of the best sounding DACs I've heard that's affordable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, why limit yourself? Take the headphone amp out of it. Just make a Zen DAC.
Yeah.
That, you know, that doesn't have a headphone amp in it. Please.
A bit more flexible. Please. Randy's saying, please, guys, just do it. Just do it.
But they have a full-on DAC, but it's like $800, man.
Yeah.
Charge $200. I'll buy it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we've given some nuggets away. And
chicken nuggets. I had to go to Chick-fil-A last night at 8 o'clock because I had a bunch of, there's screaming and gnashing of teeth at the house. And I'm like, I'm done. You want, I will go right now if you just quit screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the dynamic in my house.
Yeah, it's typically the dynamic in our house as well, but we're not rich enough to go out and get chicken nug nugs, so we're usually like, let's boil up some hot dogs, kids.
Don't give me that chicanery, because I see you take pictures of your delicious food and send it to me. Like, look at these cooking tacos that look like they came from, you know, a top-tier Mexican restaurant. And then I'm like, I'm showing you my Burger King bag and stuff like that. So you're not rich enough.
No, we do like to cook, and we do take it pretty seriously. So, all right. Anything else before we end the show? Let these people go.
I don't know. I appreciate y'all watching the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Or listening to it.
This podcast is available on all of the major podcasting platforms. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and so much more. All the links that you need to know are down below. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll see you guys.
What happened to your fancy music you used to pipe in here?
Oh.
Ridiculous.
Why isn't it working? Oh, I forgot to plug in the USB cable. That's why it's not working.
It's not well, good. Something's happening.
Can but... do you want to sing and then I'll just end it? You want to sing while I end it? All right, let's go ahead and try it. 1, 2, 3. All right, guys, thank you so much for... You're not doing your part.
That was come a... as you are. The choice is yours.
Don't do that. We're going to get a copy. We're going to get a copyright strike.
No problem. Is that a thing? Like, literally me singing Nirvana is going to get us copywritten?
Maybe. It's kind of crazy out there on YouTube. I watch a lot of guitar reviews and stuff like that. And if they play the same song, then they get a copyright strike. Like, even if it catches the melody, it's like, nope, you can't.
I had
do
one
that.
Of my reviews, the Arilla K50 review. I played a little bit of Rage Against the Machine because people were telling me that, oh, that speaker doesn't measure well. And so I played a Rage Against the Machine song about my response to that. Yeah, copywritten. And it's actually one of my most popular videos. So I like...
There you go.
Like, all of the affiliate link money is going to Rage Against the Machine. So
there
you're
you
welcome,
go.
Zach.
There you go, Zach.
My contribution to the Rage Against the Machine. You know what's sad is before COVID, they were doing a reunion tour.
I saw that. Yeah, would have been cool. Great band. Great band. All right, guys, we're out. Thank you so much for stopping by. We do appreciate it. Again, my name is Ron. You can find our channels down below, New Record Day, if you're into that thing, and Cheap Audio Man, if you're into that thing, which I do recommend and suggest.
I recommend New Record Day. It's fantastic.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Check is in the mail. All right, guys, we'll see you on the next podcast, and we'll probably pick up the audio basics again. Over and out. Take care. Bye.